This is from Trish. And Trish likes, I have pledged to several shows this drive. I'm so thankful for WORT staff, volunteers, and listeners. Trish, we are thankful for
you. Yes, we
are.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. This is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org. Listener-sponsored community radio. The 8 o'clock buzz will be up after the BBC News.
Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2304. Local 2304 is a small local union with a big agenda, bringing power to the people by representing the workers who provide safe and reliable gas and electric service at MG&E. The professional union reps at Madison Teachers Incorporated and the staff collective right here at WORT. More information about the union is available on their website at ibew2304.com.
I'm Debbie Russ with the BBC News. Hello. The President of the European Commission has said the continent is at a watershed moment at an emergency EU summit on defence in Brussels. Ursula von der Leyen stressed the importance of Europe protecting itself through a massive increase in defence spending, but also of helping Ukraine achieve a fair and lasting peace. President Volodymyr Zelensky, who's attending, thanked the EU for its strong support. How further EU assistance will be configured remains uncertain. The EU foreign policy chief, Kaja Kallas, said the bloc needed to back Kyiv in order to achieve an enduring peace.
We have initiative on the table. I hope that we reach a political agreement on the support for Ukraine, because we really need to make them stronger so that they are able to end this war on their terms. And therefore, they need the European support for this.
Ukraine's ambassador to Britain, General Valery Zaluzhny, has accused the United States of destroying the world order. The former commander-in-chief of Ukraine's armed forces said the White House had put into question the unity of the whole Western world by trying to meet Russia halfway. Frank Gardner reports.
He told a security conference at London's Chatham House think tank there was a risk NATO could collapse, and he warned that Europe could become Russia's next target. His words come as President Trump continues to pile pressure on Ukraine to make concessions to Russia in advance of peace talks, while apparently putting no corresponding pressure on Moscow. The ambassador's hawkish words are also at odds with the recent conciliatory approach adopted by President Zelensky.
The UN says it's releasing $110 million to compensate for what it called a brutal cut in global aid, but it added billions more would be needed. The move follows the Trump administration's decision to end most funding. The released funds will provide life-saving assistance for 10 urgent cases, with a third of the money going to Sudan and Chad. Hamas says President Trump's threats against the group encourage Israel to back out of the Gaza ceasefire agreement. It was responding to a social media post by Mr. Trump saying that either Hamas handed over all the remaining hostages in Gaza immediately, or it would be over for them. Yoland Nell reports from Jerusalem.
Hamas has reiterated that for those it holds captive to be returned, Israel must enter into the next phase of the ceasefire deal, which involves ending the Gaza war. It's thought that 24 living hostages remain in the territory. The new threats from Mr. Trump came after the White House said that US officials were engaged in ongoing talks and discussions with Hamas, setting aside a decades-old American policy of not directly engaging with the armed group.
Yoland Nell reporting. This is the World News from the BBC.
Bon dia, Madison. The Hanfibians are proud to present Madison Carnival 2025, Saturday, March 8th, live at the Majestic Theater.
Join us as we celebrate 25 years of Carnival in Madison with an evening of Brazilian drumming, dance, and culture.
The night will showcase the vibrant rhythms of the Hanfibians community bateria and the high-energy performances by Ochimo Dance and Madison Capoeira.
The event will also feature performances by bands from our samba community. Grupo Balança, Samba Novistas, Madison Choro Ensemble, Saideira Pagode, and more.
That's the Madison Carnival 25th Anniversary, March 8th at the Majestic Theater.
More information at madisoncarnival.com.
Bringing you the rich culture and music of Brazil, this is WORT Madison.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Kath, do you know what is happening on March 10th on the Access Hour?
No, what's happening?
Okay, I don't know if I told you, but we are hosting the Access Hour on WORT.
We? Meaning you and me?
Yeah, you and me and the New Horizons Swing Band.
Well, what are we going to play?
Some big band tunes that we'll be performing for our swing band dance coming up on April 10th at the Goodman Center.
Mark, have you been in a WORT studio before? It's not that big.
Kathy, it will be fine. How hard could it be to squeeze 35 people into the WORT studio?
Okay, well, when is this happening again?
Monday, March 10th at 7 p.m. for the Access Hour.
Okay, that actually sounds like fun. We hope you, the Access Hour listeners, will join us, Kathy Ponoir and Mark Saltzman, and the Madison New Horizons Swing Band for the Access Hour on March 10th at 7 p.m.
Support for this program comes from Edgewood College Theater, presenting Kimberly Bellflower's biting, funny new play, John Proctor is the Villain, directed by Jeannie Leap, February 28th to March 8th at the Diane Bullweg Theater. At a rural high school in Georgia, teens are studying The Crucible while navigating love, sex, and school scandals. Holding a contemporary lens to the American classic, they question, who is really the hero and what is the truth? Discovering their own power in the process. Tickets at edgewood.edu/about/events/theater or search Edgewood College Theater.
Good morning. This is WORT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. And my name is Tony Castaneda. It's time for the Thursday, March 6, 2025 edition of the 8 o'clock buzz. And as usual, I'm not joined in the studio by Eli. I'm joined today with, the next best thing? I don't know.
Oh, I'm better.
That's what I wanted to hear. Sasha Rosser is here today. She's going to be my first guest. We're going to talk about some upcoming comedy shows, but she's also graciously agreed to sit in here and help us do pledge wrapping.
Oh, yeah.
And I just gave her, I just gave her great training. All you people out there that are concerned about training, it's a good thing you didn't have to go to the training.
Oh, yeah.
I kept you away from
completely
that.
Completely untrained.
Yes.
I've already soiled the carpet multiple times.
That's true. Well, good morning, Sasha. How's everything going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, Tony.
You look a little different than the last time you were here.
Yes, I've lost about 15 pounds of baby weight as
really?
A baby came out of me. So,
wow.
Yeah, 2 months ago, gave birth to my first boy.
And the boy that was not named for a long time.
No name.
The boy that had no name. That was a baby's name.
We're going to choose the name today, I think, on the air. That's Tony's goal.
This was my idea, everybody. We are raising money for WRT. This is the tail end of our winter pledge drive. And we want to thank everybody who has pledged your support. And we also got somebody to thank from Ava Borelli, Ava and Walter's show. And this is from Walter and B.,
wow.
Who pledged to that show just at the tail end. They like Ava and Walter, and they like Democracy Now!, and they also like Labor Radio. So
beautiful.
Thank you so much, Walter and B, for pledging your support. We would like to encourage you to pledge your support to WRT. We are celebrating 50 years.
Wow, incredible.
I know, we're old. I'm even older, but... yeah, and this year, and how you pledge, it's very simple. If you haven't done it before, you give us a call at 608-256-2001. And we have phone answers standing by. We got Franklin answering phones, and we also have Mary Lou. So they're ready to take your calls. We're probably going to need more phone answers, though, with all the calls. We're going to get Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's so happy to have you on the show.
Yes.
Eli did all right, but you know how it is when Eli's gone. We get to talk bad
about
him. We
get to have a fun time. Yes. Thank goodness he's gone. We can finally speak the truth.
Right. So, So that's what's going on down here. And Sasha, we got some premium and stuff to give away, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well,
also, wait. First, not only can you call, but if you just want to do it on the internet, you can give us go online to WORTFM.org, and you can pledge online, and we can see right here how many people are pledging and whatever, too. So,
So call, get online. We have a bunch of fun things you can receive for
you. Don't have to go through that whole list because that'll take up the whole
shoe. Whole one.
But is there something out there that stuck out for you?
Stuck out to me, I personally like, well, it starts at the $30 level and you get an I Miss Nixon bumper sticker, which I enjoy a lot, even though I wasn't around during Nixon's era, but I still miss him, you know? I feel that spiritually. And also, if you're a bit of an audiophile, at the $150 level, you've got the WORT House of Marley headphones, which is a limited quantity of those, but those are great.
There's some other cool
to.
Stuff. There's a knit cap. Oh,
yeah.
There's a long-sleeve T-shirt.
Yeah, multiple
knit
caps.
Blah, blah, blah,
multiple
blah,
colors.
Blah.
There's an umbrella.
This umbrella thing kind of is interesting to me because it's special. Read about it. It's kind of an umbrella. I don't get it. It's invert.
The Shed Rain. The famous reverse open close system funnels water away from you while closing and opening from a narrow space.
Wait, I don't get it. Funnels water away from you. Where does it go? So like you're not supposed to have an open umbrella in the house, right?
Oh, I see. So you turn it inside out and then the water sloughs off of it without.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's nice. It's a good umbrella. I actually am kind of freaked out by umbrellas because I feel like you get poked in the eye. They open release abruptly, and then they stay wet for a long time. This one dries off nicely, and it's a little more utilitarian. I like that.
All right.
So you've got an umbrella opportunity.
What level is that umbrella?
That's at the 89.9. Oh, just like the radio station. Sorry, $89.90, to be clear.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Not pesos.
And what color? Is it in various colors?
Blue and black, I believe. It's very fetching.
Right.
It looks good.
I just did understand the concept of how that worked. But it goes all the way out. All
yeah.
Right. So, I mean, what was the problem before with old umbrellas? Did you get wet when you closed it? I don't get it.
They get everything else wet when you set them down. So you're able to wick it off a little bit nicely, you know?
Well, I'm glad you know all about umbrellas,
I
Sasha.
Just read this. I feel very informed. You all should get the umbrella. But I also think that the headphones, there are a lot of good things in here. We also have, at the $180 level, the El Dorado Tan Backpack, which is, I think, good for the people who like hiking. It's a very big backpack. You can fit all your camping needs in there and such.
Okay. And new to the Wart Studios is we've got three sound making buttons. Don't hit them yet. Okay. But you know how it is when you call here and pledge and everybody rings the bell. Let's hear that bell. All right. You can do that.
That means and then your order's ready.
We got two other buttons. The other one is Screamy Goat.
That was actually me.
That was a recording of your birth, right?
That's right. It was very quick, but it was painful.
And then we have this, which...
Oh. Yes. More of the sports stadium energy. And it's some cheering afterwards.
Yes.
It's just a burr, 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 burr. I could just say burr, 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 when we have a pledge.
And then scream like a goat.
Yeah. You know.
And then ring the bell or whatever.
Do usually, all three.
I don't like to do either, but I celebratory button thing just keeps on expanding here.
I like it.
That whole yeah. Well, that's pretty interesting. We do have some guests on today's show besides Sasha, who's going to talk about two upcoming shows, which are going to be very cool. And we'll get to those in a minute. But we're also going to be speaking with Nick Ramos, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. In case you guys are not aware of it, there's a lot of money. We have a very important Supreme Court race and school superintendent race here in Wisconsin. It's one of the first, if not the first, big election nationwide or statewide since the last presidential election. So people are looking at this as kind of a test, maybe to see where the pulse of America is at. Mm-hmm. Are we already sick of Donald Trump? Yes, of course we were sick of him before he became president for the second time, but or not. So we're going to talk. And in case you did not know, I don't know if you knew this, Sasha, but Elon Musk is throwing millions of dollars into these Wisconsin races for the Supreme Court. His ads are running already from his pack.
I've seen
them. Wisconsin, yeah.
They're nasty.
I know they're nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But, we'll talk about that with Nick Ramos. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
In the meantime, and this is the most important part of the show, which I did not train you on, but you gotta know this by heart.
Okay.
But the views and the opinions expressed here on the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz. Do you want to say that?
Oh yeah, the views and opinions expressed here on the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz
do not necessarily reflect the views.
Do not necessarily reflect the views
of the WRT Board of Directors.
Of the WRT Board of Directors.
The volunteers. And the paid staff.
And the paid staff.
Amen.
Amen.
No.
Hallelujah.
It's like we just got married.
I was going to say it.
No,
I
we're
do.
Not done. We're not done. Because the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz is for entertainment purposes only.
So there.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Aha, I remembered that part.
Right. So that's it, everybody. And in a minute, but I'm going to do something that I have never done before. I'm going to play a record here.
Ooh.
And on the turntable.
A Journey into the Past.
It's a new album that just came out from the Tone Scientists. And the album is Kairoi Tori. I have no idea what the heck that means. But it's it features Mike Watts from the Minutemen, plus a bunch of other people, including Bucky Pope, our own Bucky Pope, who writes some of the lyrics. And he dropped this album off yesterday, and he asked me to play this. So I'm going to try, Bucky, and I hope you give us a call down here. Not that it's payola or anything, but pledge your support here. And let's try out this new song by the Tone Scientists. It's an album just came out. And here we go. You ready? I'm a little nervous. Let's see if we do this right, Sasha.
We can do it.
Oops. That was the wrong turntable. It was working, though. Watch this. All right, everybody. Here you go. This is actually a song written about Clyde Stubblefield. It's called Those Isthmus Blues. All right. And this was written by Bucky Pope and Mike Watt. Here goes nothing.
Died. We had Roscoe, Richard, and Clyde. And F-35s now litter the sky. Still praying for world peace. While Amazon trucks clog the streets. Ideological moats and protests. Self-righteous indignation. We're all the same, but they don't feel your pain. Cause we're living in a bubble. But it ain't so bad living in a bubble if your neighbors with them from Killdozer. Sentiments are with the have-nots, but that's not borne out by the facts. Smiling facism is just obscure racism, a well-intended stab in the back. Remember when MDC played on the Capitol? Dark cross is hard and hope to die. Ronan Murray tried to interview the Minutemen, but neither one of them ever got a word in. An island on a sea of reality, but the peace train never stopped in Milwaukee.
That's the Tone Scientist. Sorry, Bucky, we couldn't do the whole song, even though I'm sure it's pretty profound with your lyrics. You're talking about a lot of Wisconsin stuff. That's a new album by the Tone Scientist, and I can't say the name, but Sasha can because she's smart. Sasha, what is the name of that album?
I Googled it. It is from a Japanese media franchise. It's Kiroi Tori. And it's referring to a yellow bird character from the Rila Kuma franchise.
And that's like anime or something?
It's like an anime, I think, or some kind of cartoon. And basically the bird is this wise pet bird who's constantly chastising his owner. There you go. I have no idea why that's the name of this album, but it does have these yellow feathers on it, much like the bird. So I think it is definitely a reference to that.
Okay, good. We figured that out. But yeah, that's a new thing. And thanks, Bucky.
Yeah,
and also thank me for learning how to do the turntable. That wasn't too hard.
It's majestic.
It's 8:23, everyone. You are tuned into WORT. We do have a couple people to thank.
Yay!
And we want to thank them. First of all, we're going to thank Don Rembert. Don, thank you so much for your generous pledge.
Bow, 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 bow.
Well, plate. Oh, man.
Very nice.
Thank you, Don. And Don picked up one of them knit caps, man.
Oh, very good.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
And also I want to thank someone who's going to probably be mad that I say her name, but that's too bad. Her name is Jenny Capillero. Thank you, Jenny, much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Do the goat thing.
Do the goat. Oh, it's chaotic.
Thanks. Thank you, Jenny, for your generous pledge. And she got some old swag that we gave away a couple years ago, a couple pledge drives ago. She got a nice beach bag.
Oh, lovely. What a nice variety of things.
I know it. And yeah, we got all kinds of stuff. Give us a call at 608-256-2001 and pledge your support to WORT. But my first guest is also the Ed McMahon of the Thursday Buzz today. You know who Ed McMahon was, don't you?
I do, all right, vaguely.
Eli. Okay.
Same person.
He doesn't know who it is.
He doesn't?
He didn't. He didn't know what a newspaper was either until I actually
gave him. Yeah. So I had to learn about newspapers here. And I just learned about turntables. And, you know, he's got rotary phones here. I don't know if you all knew this.
Yes.
There's the ancient rotary phones. I have no idea how to use those either.
Uh-huh.
I think phones are just for watching television shows. Somebody tries to call me, I really freak out. I throw my phone through the window. I've lost so many phones.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sasha's I don't know how long you've been doing comedy. How long have you been doing comedy?
6 years, just as of last week.
You've really progressed.
I have tried.
No,
yeah.
No, after 5 years, you get to a baby comes, right?
That's true.
You have a baby.
I was running out of material, and you know, my life was going a little too well. A happy marriage does not make for good comedy. So I had to screw everything up and produce new life.
I know. So what are you going to do now? I mean, how many months did you use, and how big of a part was your pregnancy part of your routine?
It was a pretty big part of my routine. I miss it because there are a bunch of jokes that are so much funnier if you are visibly pregnant. There's just the sight gag of that big bulging belly, and there's a lot you can do with it. As soon as you get on stage, you know, you can sort of ignore it, and people are wondering, is she going to dress that big gut? And so you can play around with it. And now it's gone and I miss it. So there's certain jokes where I have to say, hey, pretend I'm enormously pregnant for this next one. But the time has passed. I might as well just get pregnant again, I guess, in order to get that material back.
Well, you were kind of talking for a minute about maybe you're just going to get a basketball and put it in. Right?
That's
and
true.
You could push. I mean, go for it.
Yeah. Whatever makes the joke land the
Too
best.
Too bad the baby got tired of sitting around waiting. So the baby came out.
Yes.
What I kind of thought was interesting, though, is that you did not name your baby for a while. Is that a thing now, or is that a cultural thing? Is that a comedian thing?
I don't know if it's a comedian baby, thing. Is it? I know this comedian named Kevin McCaffrey, and he's definitely, you know, of Irish descent.
Okay.
And he has this whole joke about how his mom said, "Well, we didn't know what we were going to name you until you were born, because we just wanted to figure out what your personality was. You know, we wanted to know who you were."
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Well, what was the other name you were considering?" And she says, "Tyrone." And Kevin said, "I don't think you were trying to find out who I was. I think you're trying to find out who my father was." Turns out it's more of a Kevin type of dad than a Tyrone type of dad.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. But I think maybe sometimes people are waiting to learn some information about their child like that. I wanted to know more about my kid's personality before I chose a name, but now we've settled on something.
If four of my kids were born at home.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what their gender was going to be.
Oh, sure.
So we didn't do that. I never wanted to know, you know.
How did you choose the names? Was that on the spot?
No, we kind of, yeah, right when it came out. That one is blah, blah, no. We kind of, I don't know, just kind of came up with weird names.
Okay.
What's the, one thing I would never do, though, is name any of my kids after me.
Ha! No Tony the second.
No Tonys. Because Tonys always get yelled at all the time. It's always like, who did that? You know,
it was Tony.
Tony, I know it. And everybody's other parents would be like, when something bad happened, they're like, "Where's that Tony? He's probably behind this."
Of course.
Which wasn't true almost all the time.
Sounds like you're trying to exonerate yourself here.
Yes.
He was the one, a bit of a Dennis
the Menace. The statute of limitations has run out on a lot of stuff I did as a kid.
So
now, Sasha, you've been being a comedian. I mean, you had a regular job for a minute, right? I mean, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a data scientist up until about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, which I didn't enjoy. I was thinking about it recently, and I was thinking about the number of times I took sick days when I wasn't sick, which was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're there for you to use them for something. And if you're not sick, might as well use them for not wanting to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that.
And then when you're actually sick, you just go to work and get everybody else sick.
That's exactly right. None of you should be able to do this. No, I didn't really, have a reason to use my sick days other than not wanting to go. So got fortunate that way. And then I was thinking about how often I don't do comedy stuff, and I don't cancel on it almost ever. It's something that I actually enjoy doing. So that makes me feel like I'm on the right path, even if it is not quite the same moneymaker.
Now, Eli's been doing this show, and I met him. I don't know why he came down and wanted to volunteer, and Charlie, our news director, was like, Tony, I got somebody to be a producer, because she's been wanting me to have a producer for years. I've had a couple that have lasted. Some of them actually, one of them actually is a real producer now for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Ooh, and he's moved on.
Produces the what used to be Central Time, so one of the big shows. Yeah.
Okay.
So he did learn some things.
You've
he actually had some knowledges. Eli, on the other hand. I hope Eli's listening down there in Orlando, Florida, by the way. Are you, Eli? Carl, I can't hear you, Eli.
I bet he is.
Go. Oh, there's Eli. Eli. You know, and I've watched, well, Eli's development. I started to go to shows, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go support you and go watch you, you know? And,
yeah.
And he was just getting his feet wet, if you will.
Sure.
And then I'd see these other people that are just trying, and some people stuck with it, some people didn't. You go to a lot of, you guys, there's open mics almost every night.
Yeah.
And it was mostly just in the audience, it's just other people who were going to go up and do open mics, so other comedians.
Right, right.
And none of them ever laughed at any other comedian's joke.
So the local open mics are like that. It's a bit brutal. If somebody does laugh in that setting, though, you know you got something good.
Right.
So that's the beauty of it.
But it's not like they don't support each other
though. Yeah, they come out.
Yeah, man, way to go, that was pretty good, even though it sucked.
So, it's also supportive to tell people when something sucked, because you should know that,
right?
Some people keep doing the same bad joke over and over again. If they don't know that information, you gotta tell the people.
Yeah, Eli had that Mountain Dew bottle joke. We can't talk about it because
can't spoil the material.
Yeah, all right.
You'll just have to come to the Thursday show tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I guess he's not here. What's happening with the show at Carnegie?
I don't know. I hope he has. He's probably going to have. Well, his sit-in guy is Sean Vasquez. As a matter of fact, we might change the name to the Halftime Comedy Show with Sean Vasquez.
There we go. And I'm going to be the new producer on the Thursday 8 o'clock bus.
Yeah, Eli.
Bye, Eli.
You've
had
fired.
Enough of you. You fired. It's Trump's America now. Everyone's fired.
Yeah. Now you got a couple shows coming up that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
This weekend there's one on Friday and one on Saturday.
Indeed.
Let's talk about the Friday one, which we cannot mention where it's at.
We cannot.
In the theme of that one, which go ahead. What do you got going on?
So we've had a whole bunch of comedy roasts through my production company, Cheshire Cat Comedy, and comedians dress up in costume and then they roast each other. We have sort of a special guest, and tomorrow's is going to be we're doing the comedy roast of Luigi Mangione.
And
a little bit.
And
topical.
Everybody, if you don't. Know who Luigi Mangione is? He's become somewhat of a folk hero.
Yeah.
He's
a legend assassin.
It's not
assassin.
Cool. We're not. Yeah, the alleged assassin of.
Confirmed heartthrob.
Of.
Brian Thompson.
Yes, the guy that the CEO of United Health or whatever is. Yes. Everybody knows about that, but you're going to have a roast of Luigi Mangione.
Yes, indeed.
Is that in bad taste or what?
I think some people might think it is. The show got a little bit of backlash. It's a, you know.
And that's why you can't say where it is because.
I don't want to bring bad press to the location. But if you want to learn the location, you can certainly find the event on CheshireCatComedy.com.
CheshireCatComedy.com.
We'll just say it's on the Near East Side, and it's going to be a fun show. We're going to have Velma being a roaster. We're going to have New York City Mayor Eric Adams on the lineup. We're going to have Marie Antoinette back from the grave.
Really?
Yep.
They're all going to roast her. And they're all in costume.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and Luigi himself will also be present, maybe with his shirt off. And we know rippling abs may as well be the biggest draw for the show on their own. But
okay.
So everyone roasts each other, culminating with Luigi. And we also have a couple special guests. I think we might have the that CEO, Elizabeth Holmes, who committed fraud. You remember that lady with the, she faked having a deep voice, wore a black turtleneck, and came up with some fake blood sampling technology.
No, what was this?
She's sort of, you know, a perfect example of a corrupt CEO.
Okay.
So we're going to have her there to roast, of course, or at least to do a little bit of stand-up comedy. Maybe.
All right. And this is at what time? In an undisclosed
location? That's
going to
be the undisclosed Near East location in Madison. It's going to be at 8 p.m.
Okay.
this Friday, the comedy roast of Luigi Mangione. And then on Saturday, we've got something a little in better taste, I think.
Okay, good.
At least less opinions.
Controversial, yes.
Yeah, less controversial. It's going to be the International Women's Day Showcase. It's called Nevertheless, She Laughed. And we've got a really fun bunch of comedians from Chicago as well as Madison. It happens to be all women, but, you know, we do that.
But that's all right. It's a woman. It's an honor of Women's Day.
It is, yeah. I like to have an all-women showcase sometimes without it being International Women's Day, but in this case, we're doing it because it's a special day. And the headliner, Sonal Agarwal, has been on Netflix, so we have pretty hot credits on the lineup.
Wow. And that, you can say where that one is at.
Yes, that one is at Breeze Stevens Field, the Forward Club at Breeze Stevens Field.
And I've seen that club, and people won't believe it when you walk into that club. It's underneath the bleachers on the Mifflin side of
yep.
Breeze Stevens. It's a beautiful, cool.
It is really cool.
Bar. It's set up so cool. And
it's got like the original stonework.
That
there's actually some specific regulations to keep it intact because it's a historic building. But it looks very cool. And then it's also flamingo themed because the Forward Club team is flamingo themed. So it has this really lovely atmosphere.
And it's called the Forward.
The Forward Club. It's just called, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys have a lot of shows there. And
yeah.
Stuff.
We also have Kimchi Fried Comedy there. That's sort of a monthly showcase. We do a show that I cannot say the name of. But that's one where people eat hot peppers and also do stand-up comedy at the same time. It's sort of like Hot Ones meet stand-up.
What?
Oh, people don't like stand-up comedians. They want to see us suffer. And so we're giving the people what they want. We eat the hot peppers, and we struggle through our sets. It's fun. It's fun. It's a good one. That's one of our...
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
What a waste,
because I
can't what a waste of hot peppers.
We work with, I think it's Ghost Valley Farms, which is a local farmer, and we get his peppers. They're very good.
Yeah, and that's good. It's locally sourced, too.
That's right. So locally sourced, organic, and supporting the community.
Speaking of supporting community, everybody, we have not had any phone calls yet.
We got to get those pledges.
608-256-2001. You can pledge online. Let me look online and see if we got any online pledger thingies. Yeah, we did.
Ooh.
We got one here. They like... Hey, we got several.
That's
first
exciting.
Of all, we got one from Anonymous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anonymous.
And he likes Jazz in Flight. He likes 8 o'clock Buzz. And he likes Arnold Gonzalez, who's also been doing, he's a substitute host now, and he's been doing a lot of things. He's going to be doing Jazz in Flight on Thursday. Thank you very much, Anonymous.
Yay.
And then we got another Anonymous. Look at, they also like Tony Award host. Using a turntable for the first time. Also, Sasha is fierce, is what they said.
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Is that Eli? He wouldn't say that. He's just jealous.
Somebody else. But we can't say who it is, but because they are anonymous. Speaking of anonymous, we were having some fun with the fact that you had a baby that did not have a name, and we were trying to ask our pledgers to give your baby a name, but...
Anonymous,
you guys
should
did.
Be the name. Anonymous
Anon.
Rosser.
Anon. Hey, Anon.
That's the thing, you know, when people post online and they don't want their name to be known, or they're on 4chan, one of these websites where the information gets deleted after a short amount of time, they just called Anon, and it's sort of a representative on behalf of anybody with those viewpoints.
All right, and we're going to reveal your child's name in just a minute, but we do want to also thank Jenny Capilaro and Don Rembert for their generous contributions. And you can join them. Go online if you want, wardfm.org. You can remain anonymous, or you can say pretty much whatever you want, as long as it's not those seven words that are on the wall over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be more than happy. And thank you very much for everybody for pledging your support.
Yeah, thank you.
We do got to get to Nick Ramos because we got some actual important stuff to talk about besides your shows. But let's talk about your baby's name. You had a baby, and the baby was
a boy.
Okay, and you guys, after however many months of
Well, we chose a name right out the gate, but we weren't sure if we wanted people to call him by that name. Like, my legal name is Alexandra, but nobody calls me that. I go by Sasha. It's the Russian nickname.
Really?
Russian,
for Alexandra? Sasha?
Yeah,
is?
It turns Russian's a weird language. So Alexander or Alexandra turns into Alex Sasha, and then it gets shortened to Sasha. Okay. So that's where that comes from. And the Russian name, or, I mean, it's a name in various languages, but Anton or Anton turns into Antoshka or Antoshkin or Antosha, which shortens to Tosha or Toshkin or Toshka. And so our son is going to go by basically Tosh or Toshkin.
Toshkin.
Yeah.
Toshi.
Yeah.
Little Toshi.
Yeah, little Tosh, Toshkin.
No, that
Toshkin.
Works. I mean, you always like got to think about the slang name and when you're going to yell at the kid, what exactly. What the name you're going to use. It's not going to be, you know.
Right, right. It's got to be short enough to be easy to be angry with, you know. Just Tosh or Toshkin, that works. But it's also sweet, I think,
yeah,
and easy
Toshkin.
To say.
Toshkin, I saw that. There's not too many Toshkins around there, but no. There's going to be a lot more, though, after
I hope so.
Toshkin.
We're going to be trendsetters, but he's unique for now, probably.
All right. Well, Sasha, it's so great to have you down here helping me do some pledge wrapping and also talking about your show as my first guest.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Like, there are two shows coming up Friday and Saturday. We'll talk about those at the end of the show. But we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to get to Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and talk about some serious stuff, Sasha, and feel free to join in.
Yeah.
If you got, you know, intelligent questions. Eli's been getting pretty good.
I will try to think of something intelligent.
We compete. I always keep track of when a guest says, that's a great question.
I will at least be able to say that when it's appropriate. Okay, well, I'm excited Nick Ramos to be on.
All right, Nick Ramos is on in just a minute. It's 8:40, everybody. Give us a call. We are at the tail end of our winter pledge drive. Join both Anonymouses and also Jenny and Don, who pledge your support. So, yeah, let's wait. Last time I tried to do this, it didn't work, but here we go. Lively up yourself here and give us a call. We are raising money for WORT. We do have somebody to thank, right, Sasha?
Yeah, we have another pledge. Thank you.
Can you say the whole name?
Absolutely, we can say the full name. Our pledge is Tony Cannon. Thank you to Tony Cannon.
Tony. I love you, Tony. That's my brother. He's a great musician. His band is actually playing this Saturday at the Harmony Bar. I'm going to go on down there and check them out because they're good and they're fun. And I'm sure he did this in memory of Kathy, right? Does he got favorite shows or anything?
He does. He has, for his three favorite shows, he has all of the good stuff and all of the music.
And none of the bad stuff. That works.
It's very diplomatic.
Tony, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Tony Cannon.
All right, good. But it's joining me on the line. I'm very pleased to have Nick Ramos, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, good morning.
Good morning to you two. How are you guys feeling?
Well, what does it mean that this election here, this Supreme Court election in Wisconsin, is attracting so much attention in nationally? What does it mean that we got people like Elon Musk and the Republican Party, and of course the Democratic Party, is putting a lot of money into this Wisconsin election for the Supreme Court?
Well, I mean, a lot has happened since last year. I mean, we had a presidential election, and, you know, currently President Trump is in the Oval Office, and we've been trying to see, I mean, across the country, just what people are feeling and what the mood is. And Wisconsin has become, like it has in many years, the bellwether, the political litmus test, whatever you want to call it. Like, folks are really trying to see whether or not this presidential election that happened in November is an anomaly, or is it a better understanding of how the country is moving in a political ideological sense. And so the big thing that, you know, I see with this race, I mean, it's become a billionaire slugfest, as far as I think people are not only trying to figure out how people are going to receive and feel this new political climate that we're in, whether it's some radical right or maybe more moderate or maybe even left leaning. I mean, who knows? But I think Wisconsin's become the testing ground to see if, and I think Elon Musk, I think some of his folks and organizations and stuff, and then you can also talk about some of the high dollar Democrat leaning donors that, like, I think folks are trying to see and test and figure out, like, well, Wisconsin is the most razor thin margin state of them all here in the country. So if we can develop a victory here on one side or the other, perhaps that's a roadmap for other states, battleground states across the country. And so I'm sure we'll talk about numbers and all that stuff, but I mean, this is the hottest race in the United States right now. Go on.
If there's any consolation in the last presidential race, of all the states that Donald Trump won, Wisconsin is the one that he won by the least amount of votes or percentage.
That's right.
You know? Well, I'll count that as a victory, I guess. You know, and I know the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has been, you know, talking about this issue of money in politics. Is that a train that has left the station that will never stop and will never reverse itself?
Well, and just to your last point real quick, I mean, not only was Wisconsin the thinnest margins as far as the presidential election is concerned, we had the highest voter turnout across the country. So we were number one. And I think that's also another feather in the cap for us, but then it shows why this state is so important, because it's so close. But to your original question, I don't think the train's left the station, honestly. Like, and the reason why is because it is smack dab in people's face in a way that it has never been before. Like, it's always been a problem, and, you know, Citizens United has been with us for, what, over a decade now? Like, and I think it was this boogeyman that people knew was just somewhere in the ether, but you didn't really get to appreciate it for what it was, because you hear about it, but then you don't get to see it, like it's the wind or something. But now it is right here in people's faces, when you got folks like, I mean, Elon Musk. I mean, here's the thing, like, when I think about him and the fact that, like, there's already approximately about $4.8 million that in a very short clip of time has been poured in by, you know, Musk's groups like Building America's Future and America PAC, which, you know, they're spending it on ads and mailers and canvassing for Schimmel's campaign and whatnot. Like, the thing is that this, and then, like, what's happening at the federal level with kind of oligarchy that's forming with the big tech folks and stuff, people are going to realize that these billionaires, they are not doing this out the goodness of their hearts to just, you know, try and be civically minded. Like, they're here to take care of their self-interest, and who's going to be the one that has to pay the bill at the end of the day? It's everyday voters. It's not going to be the 1% and the wealthiest people. And so there's going to be some real opportunities here to do some education and some grassroots mobilization to deliver some real campaign finance reform. And at the Democracy Campaign, in our 30th year here, like, we will be working aggressively over the next couple of years to try and get some public campaign finance reform across the finish line. I believe it can happen, and I think the electorate, if you ask them right now if they think money in politics is a problem, I bet you almost 90% of them say it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Marquette poll just came out yesterday, and it's at least, you know, from what I've heard of it, it's a little bit disheartening for, I mean, in a way, both candidates for state Supreme Court here in Wisconsin had negative ratings, which were higher than their favorable ratings. And also, another unfortunate thing is, like, people said they didn't know enough about either of the candidates to make a decision really right now. When I'm like, what the heck do you need to know? You can say hell, though, but I just want to say, let's not go any further than that. What more do you need to know? And what's being lost here? And I guess another question is, what do you think about how the Democrats are running this campaign?
Wow. You know, I will answer these questions to the best of my ability.
Okay.
You know, I'm a C3 nonpartisan player here. But my thing is that I think it's such an interesting and unique time for just politics and election work. I think last year during the presidential election cycle, you were watching new tactics. You were watching traditional tactics, and you were watching new tactics being used to try and persuade and engage voters. And I feel like right now, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but all the ads that I've been seeing have all been just highly negative, nothing uplifting really from either camp. And I think that that is most definitely driving these unfavorable numbers for both of them. Mm-hmm. And that, like, the folks that are seeing all these ads, I mean, it'd be nice if I got to see one of them talk about just the good things that they're going to consider while being on the bench. And yet it's just a mud slinging fest that is nonstop. So I think that there's a little under a month now till April 1st. And April 1st, guys, Tuesday, I know it's April Fool's Day, but it's really an election and you should be voting. So learn about the Supreme Court. Like, the thing is that we're going to see some really interesting, I think, creative ways that these campaigns are going to try and engage voters now until April 1st, because as you correctly stated, there is a huge part of the population, the voting age population, does not know much, if not anything, about these two candidates. And, like, the decisions that these two, you know, if one of them wins the seat, like, they're going to be making some really big choices about abortion rights. I mean, Act 10 is still close to perhaps being completely dismantled. I mean, for redistricting and all types of other fun things under the sun, like, so people have some time to get engaged, but I think that, like, you've been seeing a lot of use of influencers through streaming and podcasts and heavier digital, and so we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Sasha has a question. Go ahead, Sasha.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Nick. Nice to meet you on the air. I was thinking about your mentioning of campaign reform, and I thought about, you know, years ago, Bernie Sanders' campaign had a point of pride, which is something like $8 was the average donation cost, and it's sort of like an anti-oligarchical model where people are donating small amounts of money, but in large, you know, quantities, and you end up with this grassroots campaign. Would campaign reform, trying to control these donations that come from really wealthy individuals, come in the form of limiting how much you could donate? Are there other forms of campaign reform beyond just limiting how much people could donate?
Yeah, I mean, that is a marvelous question. And
wait, I got to say, Nick, she gets extra points for asking great questions, as always. And marvelous. Nobody's ever said that was a marvelous question, but go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry for that interruption there.
Oh, no. I appreciate the sidebar. We should be giving people their flowers now and not at funerals. So, hey, Google. I want to cook, big dog. So, to your question, Sasha, like, honestly, I think that when it comes down to it, it needs to be a combination of not only transparency, as far as stronger disclosure laws to ensure that billionaires and special interest groups can't buy elections in secret. There's way too many loopholes right now that folks get to take advantage of because they're savvy enough. And it becomes this money shell game where, you know, they know that they can max out at a certain clip, and like in a Supreme Court race is $20,000. And then they know they can go to the party or the committees of their choice and then write a blank check to these people. And then, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hell, Brad Schimmel said it in some leaked audio. He was like, oh, guess what? You guys max out to me, go to the party. They'll send me your money immediately. And it's like, that's just the law. They can do, it's legal money laundering, where you can do unlimited transfers, wash your hands of it, and like go win races because you know how to skirt the rules. And it's like, is it illegal? No. Is it unethical? Sure. Mm-hmm. But like, it's one of those things that not only should we be looking at disclosures, but I brought up earlier in the call, like, there's an opportunity for us, similar to what you were talking about with like Senator Sanders, that like we could bring, and we had it before, but we could bring public campaign finance reform and create a system that is advantageous to candidates that I actually want to take advantage of, like a voucher system where you have to speak to and receive support monetarily from X amount of donors. You reach that threshold, there's state money that is allocated for you. It could be $250,000, it could be $500,000, I don't mm-hmm. know. But like, once you reach that threshold, then those funds get unlocked and you get to use them for your campaign, which would disincentivize some of these really big high dollar donors from being able, like, they don't have the same kind of power because they don't, these campaigns don't have to be glorified telemarketers to go try and do the bidding of these really rich, super powerful people. So there's going to be some really great opportunities, but we kind of, ever since 2015, when Governor Walker completely rewrote and gutted our campaign finance system, this is the Wild West that we live in. That's why I'm like sitting here and pulling my hair out, and I got braids in my hair now, but like, literally, we had a race that was over $50 million in 2023 for Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly. We are projecting it to be in the $70 to $80 million range, and I was predicting that before Elon Musk entered this race. Mm-hmm. Now, this race could be $100 million. Like, you know, they're spending money fast and aggressively, and it's like, until we put our hands and our arms around this and rein this in, guess what? We have another Supreme Court election next year. Well, guess what? We're going to lead the country and break another United States record on Supreme Court race spending because no one has the gumption to get their arms around it. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to build the grassroots campaign to leverage the power of the people and get this done over the next couple of years.
Kind of makes that $20 I wanted to donate seem meaningless. I mean, why even bother?
$100 million.
Right.
You can't think like that, though.
I know.
The reason why they are flooding this is to make you feel small, to make people feel small. But your dollars, it adds up, and they want people to stay home and be afraid. And I'm just telling you right now that like, you are so much more powerful than you even know. At the end of the day, the money don't vote; people vote. And then, like, I'm telling you right now that like, we have opportunities now to educate people about this and give them a reason why they need to get up off their couch, turn off whatever you're watching. If it's Dancing with the Stars or Bachelor, I don't care. Like, you guys got to turn off your TVs just for a little bit and get involved, because guess what? There's so many big things that are happening right now. And if you do not participate, I promise you, you're going to be waking up the next day and be like, what the hell happened? Mm. Like, there's so much moving, and you got to be a part of this. Your lives matter, and I want you guys to have some agency. So, hey, don't be afraid to step in and get local with your activism and be a part of whatever interests or whatever your things that make you, that drive you and you care about. Get involved and be active. And people want to see that. And people are fired up right now. And people don't want to feel like they have no agency. So you're more powerful than you know, big dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nick, I guess I couldn't have said it better myself, but Nick Ramos, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. One last question. Do you think that this race, Supreme Court race, is going to be determined by whoever has the most money?
Wow.
I mean, shouldn't it, instead of like who's got the best ideas?
I mean, this really, if there was ever a time that I could just be persuaded in either direction. It's right now, because I just think that in the past, typically, the person who's got the bigger money wins. Big bank takes little bank. But I can tell you that I've been in some of these rooms with these people, you know, left, right, middle. I mean, going just into town halls and stuff. And I got to tell you, people are fired up. I mean, I thought people would be like tired after this presidential election season, but people are ready to take the baton and get running. So I'm curious to see if the money will really matter at the end, but you know, money is a very powerful motivator and a powerful influence. And so we're going to see.
All right. Nick Ramos, the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Definitely something we're going to be watching. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, it's 8:59. We got 1 minute, but we got some more people to thank, at least, right? Go ahead there.
Yeah, we got a pledge from John Singer. Thank you so much to John Singer.
Bam, 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 bam. Is that Seeger? John Seeger?
No. Singer. No. All right, cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, good, John. Thank you very much. I want to thank Tony Kaden. I want to thank Jenny Capillero. I want to thank Don Rembert. I want to thank Anonymous and Anonymous. And let me see if there's anybody else on here. As we're just getting ready to transfer over to Hajira. Which is going to be guest hosted by Esty. And wait, there's another one.
Ooh.
Another one.
Yay.
All right. We got another Anonymous. Thank you so much. Three Anonymouses. I wonder if they're related. We'll never know.
Thank you, Anonymous. Number three.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Sasha, thanks so much. She's got two shows, one on Friday and one on Saturday. At what you call it?
Well, CheshireCatComedy.com for all the hot
check
deets.
It out. You're
thank
right.
you, Tony.
Thank you so much for being down here and helping. I want to thank everybody who pledged and also all you listeners. Stay tuned and pledge your support to WRT so we can keep on doing what we do. Stay tuned for the Insurgent Radio Kiosk, followed by Hajira. It's 9 o'clock.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Thursday, March 6th.
This is Bird Note. After nearly 3 years of Russian attacks in Ukraine, the Kyiv Zoo has developed a thriving animal therapy program that's helped nearly 200,000 people dealing with the trauma of war. The program focuses on children and adults from the most impacted parts of Ukraine, forced migrants, and members of the military, especially those who have lost limbs. They're able to spend guided time with reptiles, insects, and birds, such as this white-rumped shama. Valentina Kardonova, the head of the Information and Educational Department,